Today, I want to talk to you for a minute about, as your job as city secretary, obviously, your scope is very wide in the city. For the first time, I guess, in a while, we've had two new city council members, even though one has served before. But if you're off the council, there's a lot of things that could happen while you're gone. Basically, what does the city do to bring a council member up to speed?
Well, I always tell candidates that it takes about a year as a council member to get your feet on the ground. Many years ago, we had a charter review commission composed of a lot of our citizens who recommended to the citizenry changing our term length from 2 years to 3 years because they felt like it takes a year to get your feet on the ground as a newly elected official. There is a lot to learn. And before you know it, here you are having to run again. So that was the main reason we went to three-year terms. But there is a lot to learn, and I explain to candidates all the time, it's going to take you a year to feel like you've got your feet on the ground. Once you go through that first budget process, which is a several-month-long process, and once you've had a chance to participate in the CIP process, that's a lot of it. But what we do is the city manager, the city attorney, and I sit down with all the candidates right before the election. We have a several-hour-long orientation session where we go over practically everything. When they come in and file, I hand them a ton of documents, flash drives, and things like that to let them get started doing some critical reading. Then the three of us spend a few hours with them going, the city manager covers the budget, how capital improvement projects are identified, how the city basically functions. City attorney and I talk a lot about rules, laws, and how things have to be done. So we do that. We do that right before the election because we feel like it gives them a chance to be a better candidate and also to be ready to hit the ground running.
Or drop out of the race.
At that point, they ought to be scared.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
Of course, immediately after the election, we do the open meetings training between the city attorney, the city auditor, and I. We do Texas Open Meetings Act training, Texas Public Information Act training, Texas conflict of interest laws made easy, if you will, go over the city council's ethics policy. I know that Dr. Barfnick, our public works director, spent quite a bit of time with a new council member going over CIP and how that's handled and maintenance and those types of things. Joey Dunn took one of the new council members on a tour to the city facilities. But, you know, it's just going to take time. So we're there. We're there for any kind of questions. But we do have several processes we go through. But, again, I'm going to tell you, just as long as I've been in the business of working for a local government, which is running on 34 years now, mm-hmm. it takes time when you're a newly elected official to get your feet on the ground. There is so much to learn.
Marilyn Strada joined us this morning. Now, you've had state, national, and international leadership roles when it comes to city administration. Tell me, over the last maybe 3 or 4 years with social media and the internet, how has that job necessarily changed?
Well, it's changed a lot. You know, people, somewhere along the line, citizens became customers, and citizens and customers want to be informed immediately. And, you know, we use social media quite a bit, probably not as much as we should, something that we're concentrating on at the city. But in terms of city communications, it's critical, you know, especially when we have a power outage and that type of thing, icy roads, things that people, we want them to be aware of. We've gotten where we sure like to tweet, that type of thing. Is that where you were headed?
Yeah, but also from the standpoint of legislatively. I mean, now mm-hmm. people want action right now. And again, mm-hmm. your street light's out, you got a pothole, mm-hmm. you got a broken water line. Obviously, the city's going to respond to those mm-hmm. things. But all it takes, and we've seen it maybe more in College Station than in Bryan, as you have neighborhoods who get angry about, mm-hmm. in that case, mm-hmm. students living there, mm-hmm. whatever that situation is, they are expecting government to move more quickly legislatively, it seems.
Well, that is true. And unfortunately, as you know, government doesn't move very quickly. We have a lot of rules and restrictions. For example, our city charter that our citizens adopt, it is our constitution, sets out that ordinances require two readings, and they can't be done at the same meeting on the same day. So it takes a while for us to get an ordinance adopted, and then if there's notice provisions that the law requires you to have before, and a lot of them do, that's a good 21-day process. You have to publish. You have to mail. You know, they make us run things in the newspaper still. And
which is interesting.
Yeah, that's a whole other story for another day.
Right.
And then by the time we, you know, meet the Open Meetings Act posting requirements and have two meetings, and then if the ordinance carries a penalty provision, then we have to publish it again. So, you know, it takes a while. And it seems very archaic, and in some ways it probably is. But, you know, we've got to have a group of citizens that are willing to change that charter to one reading of an ordinance, and things would move a lot quicker in Bryan. And I'm not sure that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because when you have two readings, it gives your citizens double opportunity, if you will, to get in front of that council. It gives them a longer time period to have input. So it's good in some ways, Scott, and in some ways it's not. But we want our citizens to be informed and involved.
Yeah. Well, the Record case is a perfect example because, quite honestly, I mean, I'll say it because you might not. Sometimes people don't pay attention. And if you only had one reading, it could be out the door before anybody had a chance to feel like they got to have their day in front of council.
That's absolutely right. You know, they know that it's an ordinance is going to have two readings. You may miss the first one, but it's going to happen again, and you'll have a chance to speak to the council. It gives you time to send a letter to the council, make a phone call to a council member, that type of thing. It does add on, so it's got its good points. But then we have people that really would like to see an ordinance get through quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it both ways, and it's understandable depending upon what it is.
So now the state organization, what's the official name of the
your
group of city secretaries?
Yeah,
I guess?
Okay. The Texas Municipal Clerks Association.
Okay. So now, how does that body act? Does that body speak to the legislature? Does the legislature come to y'all? How does that work? Because if those guys and gals want to stay up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the state association is a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of city clerks across the state are involved in the legislative process, but we do it independently. We don't do it on behalf of the state association. Now, the international association I was president of, we're a 501c6, and we do have a legislative committee. And we do weigh in on some things, but of course, Bryan, we're active legislatively. I co-chair the chamber legislative committee. It's important that our businesses be healthy, but you got to have a healthy community, a healthy infrastructure, if you will, a governmental infrastructure. So, I think it's wonderful that the chamber allows the two cities to be a part of that process, because if it's good for the city, it's good for the businesses.
Sure. Laura Schlesinger used to be on, and she would give her Dr. Laura magic wand. So if I gave you a magic wand today to make the process better for, if the legislature were to do something in Austin that would make your life easier, what would that necessarily be?
Oh, my goodness.
Aha! You suddenly have this power!
Can I keep that wand?
Yeah, really, I know. Yeah, it's probably right. Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot of things we would like to see changed at the state level. Certainly, you know that the city just adopted the Credit Access Business Ordinance, and following in the footsteps of several other cities across the state. That was a dream of Ronnie Jackson. He wants to see folks that are not banked become banked.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a bank or a credible business and do your business there. And we just want folks to understand there's alternatives to, you know, 500% in interest rates and fees. And we want to help our families be financially independent, mm-hmm, and responsible and know what they're doing. And so there's financial literacy courses available locally. But I think if the one thing we would like to see in this next session would be state legislation that would impose statewide regulations over those types of businesses where individual cities aren't doing it and individual cities getting sued. I think it would make a difference.
Yeah.
And that is something that we are going to be looking at this next go-round. As a matter of fact, I already have a notebook ready for Representative Cassell, Representative Rainey, and State Senator Schwertner that I'm going to be taking to them very soon to give them a little bit of background.
Well, kudos to both cities for moving so quickly to at least get a stance. But you're right. You need to be protected. You don't want to be standing alone in a situation, mm-hmm, like this. And you're right. The legislature needs to do that because these are people who don't necessarily know what their rights should be, and it's an unfortunate situation. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I appreciate just that overview stuff. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, I did want to remind folks about the Fire Department Memorial. Mm-hmm. It will be Saturday at 4 p.m. in front of the Clara B. Mounts Library in historic downtown Bryan. The fire department's going to have a memorial ceremony to commemorate the Knights of Columbus Hall fire, which will be 1 year ago Saturday.
Okay.
And they're going to lay a memorial wreath and dedicate the memorial wall. And then there will be a procession led by the pipes and drums to downtown Bryan, I think to the Murphy's Law area. And Independence Harley-Davidson riders are going to be there and participate. And we're excited they're coming. They've been wanting to participate in something to honor the firefighters a long time. And I think that's really lovely of them to want to be a part of it. And the public is invited.
Right, and I think the weather is going to be nice.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And Drew Powers with the big event was supposed to be here with me today, and I think he got a little bit tied up somewhere. But
it's getting to be a busy time
for them. It's a busy time for them, and just wanted to remind folks, both in Bryan and College Station, to sign up for the big event. I signed up for the first time ever. I've never done it before as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband said we're going to have 12 Aggies at our house that day. And I'm so excited he's excited because his honeydew list just got a lot shorter.
He'll roll the laundry list out and say this is where we need it. But it is. It's a great give back from the university that those people will come out and spend a half day out there making the communities more attractive.
Absolutely.
Okay, and they've got a website, I think, for that, too, that you can go to. Just Google big event, you'll find it. Marilyn Stroud here this morning. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes.
You bet.
Okay, visit with the folks from Bryan on Thursdays.